morning. We have Mike Clemens, our 98Q sports reporter. Mike, good morning to you.
How you doing, Joe?
We're doing fantastic. All right, my question right out of the box here for you today. Is it too early to answer the question, was this Griffin to Doc Rivers move a disaster? Is it too early to answer that question yet?
Yeah. You know, there were things that were happening in February, losing streaks to be specific, where you heard, like, I think I told you an earlier game when they played the Celtics that I covered, and I was talking to a guy named Michael, who's a great writer, last 20 years. He's from the Milwaukee area, so he knows about, you know, Doc's time at Marquette and kind of grew up a Bucks fan. And he talked about, you know, some of the things that Doc, you know, said that kind of got to be tired. And this is, even though he won a championship in 2008, same thing with the 76ers. You know, the 76ers, they're back into the playoffs or so. And so I don't know, but there was clearly things where Adrian Griffin was in way over his head. And then we later learned that Doc was actually consulting the team. But when they called Doc and said, hey, you want to be our next head coach? He's like, Adrian's your coach. You just hired this guy. And he said you know, it took him about 10 days. And they said, look, we've already fired him. We fired him this morning. Would you like to be the new head coach? And it's like, yeah, do I really want to work for these guys? But, you know, actually, we kind of talked to Doc about it the other day. And he said, first of all, he says, this is great to be back here. I like this situation. It's great to be back in Milwaukee. I kind of always would have dreamed I could have had a job like this when I was playing in Marquette. This period has afforded me a chance to, you know, now when I was a college kid and at Marquette and didn't have any money, and all the guys that, you know, that I wanted to thank, teammates and people from the university, et cetera, now I can take them out to dinner and treat them. So that's been wonderful to me. And at the end of the day, he says, it's a great roster. It's with a bunch of grown-up men that are here to win and do their best. The only problem is they're 19 and 20.
Yeah.
He took over as coach.
Yeah. Not good. Not good. And they're not healthy. I mean, Giannis is probably not going to play Sunday, right? And Dame is a question mark. Am I accurate on that?
Giannis has got this calf injury, soleus, you know, tissue or muscle in the left calf. He's not going to go. But it's concerning that Damian Lillard, who did play in one game the other night to sort of try and get back, has not practiced this week. He's got a groin injury. That doesn't mean that he won't possibly just be resting to get ready for Sunday night.
Yeah.
But, you know, those two guys out, it's not even close to the same team. It's quite a drop-off. The other thing is, you know, like you and I have talked about before, 5 years ago, just before the Bucks actually ended up winning it all, the Bucks in 6 year, this was a team I kept on saying on the air, and the young Bucks won their game last night because they were run and gun. They could run up and down the court. They were young. They're not that way.
Not the young.
Suddenly, they're always, it seems like they're all in their mid-30s and old.
Yeah.
And they're running out of gas at just the wrong time of the season.
Yeah, this Jonte Porter, who got banned for life from the NBA, what's the story on that? I didn't see a whole lot of specifics as to stuff that he gambled on, but, man, a ban for life, that's pretty rare.
24-year-old Toronto Raptors, the investigation from the NBA, the one that's most telling, the most egregious, is that he actually went into a game knowing he was... Remember, like, when they used to talk about gambling and boxing, that the boxer was going to take a dive tonight? I'm going to take a dive tonight. That's what he did. He went in for a few minutes, didn't score at all, didn't have much to contribute. Also, they were able to trace down, he tipped off some other bettor, hey, I'm going in tonight, and I'm going to, you know, take a dive in my minutes. I'm not going to do anything. They also found that he had bet, when he was sent down to the minor leagues, in the G League, as they call it, he had bet at least 13 times on NBA games. He used somebody else's account, you know, to try and hide from this, to do it. He spent about $76,000, had a profit of about $21,000. You know, the thing that's difficult is that when DraftKings and FanDuel, you know, something, when online betting was made legal in several states a few years ago, that's when the NFL and the NBA, made these guys partners, started taking their advertising. It was a huge new stream of revenue for them. But at the same time, they don't want players gambling or doing like what this guy did and, you know, take a dive in a game intentionally and be involved in gambling like that because it kills the integrity of the game. And, you know, you're talking about young men that are competitive and, you know, they bet in the locker room whether or not they can, you know, hit the garbage can across the room.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, good luck trying to enforce that, guys.
Yeah, that's
you know,
hard.
Here's the deal. Do you remember in the early 60s there was this story about how Paul Hornung, the great future Hall of Fame running back for Vince Lombardi, and Alex Karras, the great defensive lineman from the Detroit Lions who later would be on that TV show Webster.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
That they were, Pete Rozelle, the commissioner, brought them in and suspended them for a year from football because they'd been gambling, betting on games and that kind of thing. There was no question that those guys weren't trying to win their games, but gambling was not allowed. Why? Because it was the early 60s, and gambling meant the mob. Mm-hmm. Gambling meant bookies. Gambling meant, you know, all that things. And you know, a Kennedy administration that was, you know, fighting the mob on things and trying to bring them to justice. And, you know, the NFL wanted no part of the mob. Even a few years later, when Joe Namath, Broadway Joe, owned a bar in New York, a lot of mob guys came to hang out because it was, you know, like the Playboy Club.
Yeah.
It was the happening place to go. And they told him, you got to shut down that bar, man. We don't like, you know, your customers in there.
Can't have the link.
And Joe said, you know what, then I'm going to quit football, which I think he did for a month or two. Mm. So it's different now. Gambling is, you know, the mobsters are out now. I think they're, you know, hedge fund guys now.
Well, college basketball is a whole new world now. This is just a commonplace. Oh. You're going to lose players. You're going to get players. A.J. Storr gone. Chucky Hepburn into the transfer portal. This is just the way it's going to be. Rosters are going to turn over a lot, aren't they?
A.J. Storr was one of Greg Gard's leading scorers, and he's going to Kansas. And he had offers from several other schools, including John Calipari from Arkansas, who just took that job. So that's how good a player he was for Wisconsin in the eyes of other teams. And then a few hours after we learned that, then Chucky Hepburn, who Greg Gard had said during the Big Ten tournament, yeah, he'd really come on as the vocal leader we'd been trying to develop him. He's now entered the transfer portal now that A.J.'s gone. And some of the insiders are saying, you know what, it's for money.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get more of this NIL money that they've had in college the last couple of years.
Yeah,
name,
it's
image, and likeness. There was, during the Big Ten tournament, if you watch some of the games on some of the Madison TV stations, you saw some of these players in local TV commercials, one for a car dealership, one for a restaurant, and that's sort of where the money comes from. It usually is boosters. The average player makes maybe $1,000 in autographs and stuff like that now, or T-shirts, whatever, maybe 10 grand. Some can make up to 60 grand in other schools. But, you know, one guy told me, you know, these guys that are really focused on this NIL stuff is because they probably know that they're not going to make it in the NBA, so they're trying to make it while they
exactly.
can.
Exactly. NIL affecting college, and WIAA right here in Wisconsin is going to have a vote coming up to get to accept NIL for high school players.
For high school
because
players. Well, you know, high schools are strapped.
Yeah.
They're strapped for cash, too. And I just saw a great interview where he was talking about a guy who went back to an actor, John Lithgow, and he said, you know, I went back to my old high school 40 years later, and the thing I found out, there's no art teacher there anymore. There's no band director anymore. All these budgets are cut and cut, and so...
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's part of the deal, too. In order to keep high school football on the field, you've got to have new ways of funding.
Yeah. Is this going to be a boring NFL draft for Packer fans this year, or are they going to make some noise?
I don't think the draft ever turns out to be boring. even if he drafts like a young offensive tackle, which suddenly it seems like offensive line is an issue, even though they pretty much had it, you know, set and go by December or so. There's some guys that have been suggesting they want to move the right tackle, Zach Tom, to center. Well, I don't know. Okay, that's interesting because he's a very good young offensive lineman. And they're going on a line that, you know, Brian Gutekunst said a couple of years ago that they thought, he said, I project this guy could play center because he's a little shorter than most guys at offensive tackle. I just don't know who they think they're going to replace him with. There's a guy named Jake Tenuta. They let Yash Nyman go. He got picked up at free agency. And some team paid way more for him than anybody else would here in Green Bay. So the point to that is, well, maybe that means they have to draft, use that, you know, their first pick on an offensive lineman, which would be kind of surprising depending on some of their other needs. But right, we'll see. I'll tell you what, Brian Gutekunst last year did really good in the draft. I mean, he ended up drafting like 13 players, and 11 of them all played significant roles on the
team.
Stuck
around, yeah. Brewers, first place. Milwaukee Brewers, Cardinals. Cardinals are supposed to be, everybody was saying, well, they'll be good again this year. They're off to kind of a tough start. Brewers are banged up, though, but still an early start for them.
Especially on the mound. And Pat Murphy was so pleased with that classic pitcher's duel Wednesday.
Yeah, 1-0.
Before they left for St. Louis, because he brings in a guy from the bullpen, Bryce Wilson, and said, I've been talking to him in my office about this, and hey, today you're going to start. We'll put you out there like 3 or 4 innings, but you're going to start. And he did really good. I think he only allowed a walk, but you know, they shut out the Padres, and then the bullpen came in to fill in, and he was really pleased that, you know, on a day where he really didn't have a true starter available, that he was able to get through with the bullpen like that.
Pat Murphy seems like the type of guy who gets a good night's sleep after a 1-0 game. That's kind of his kind of game, isn't it?
I think that's a great point, you know, and the way he's getting guys to steal bases. I mean, it's not uncommon. Yeah. You come away from a game, they've stolen bases 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, he's kind of old school. I like that. Mike, always good to talk to you. We'll chat with you again next week. Thanks for taking time for us.
Have a great week. Hey, you can count on it. I'll be there to cover the game Sunday night against the Bucks, and you can bet on it. Wait a minute. What did I say?
Don't bet on it, Mike. Stay away from that. All right. Thanks. Mike Clemens joining us as he does each Friday, normally at 9 o'clock, but it may be at 8 o'clock here for a few weeks because our studio has a few issues doing this and that. And let's do the news right now here at 98Q.
Serving Wisconsin.